The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hey guys, with sports betting season in full force with football here, you need a sports book with integrity and longevity like BetUS. You may already know this, but BetUS has been pioneers in the sportsbook industry for almost three decades, thriving and paying their loyal customer base. That is BETUS.com, and they have loads of bonuses. Join now or call 1-800-69-BETUS. That is 800-MY-BETUS. You'll receive 125% sign-up bonus by using bonus code SST125. That's SST125. They have re-up and referral bonuses. Also, BetUS is known among America's favorite sportsbook for lots of reasons. Bet on team and player props, loads of NFL futures, UFC matches, PGA golf, live betting on most sports. The online casino has hundreds of games. The Racebooks has all the horse tracks. They have every bet type imaginable. Follow my lead and get your phone, online, and sports betting partner with integrity and longevity like I did. BetUS, you bet, you win, you get paid. BetUS.
In the South, it's always college football season. And the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Fun, fun, hour one of the Chuck Oliver Show. On this Tuesday, well, hour one on a Tuesday, that's Dave Bartu. Yeah, it is. He is CFB Matrix. He understands all the ones and zeros. I do not. I understand X's and O's. He's got the ones and zeros. So he has clients, apparently, what, Tulane, Nebraska, at least one NFC East coaching staff bunkered with him before the NFL draft, specifically just for quarterbacks, not linebackers or safeties or anybody else. So that's what we do every Tuesday with Dave, and always love his visits. Coming up in about 10 minutes, Jeff Cameron from the Jeff Cameron Show, appropriately enough, on every single – he's part of warchant.com, but also every single day. The Real Talk in Tallahassee every afternoon. Also Brian Haydad from Super Talk Mississippi. We'll be talking Mississippi State with Brian bottom of this hour. Last time we talked to Brian, it was in person, actually, SEC Media Days. And I said yesterday, and I give everybody all their credit. I said yesterday, I wish I knew anything as much as Drew DeArmond knows Alabama football. And I was like, folks, I know nerd level, like serious geek level stuff about plenty of topics. That's how Brian is Mississippi State, and that's one of the things that I love about this show. There are people, there's somebody listening right now in, I don't know, Memphis, Tennessee, and he or she will know more about Tennessee football than I'll ever know in my life. If I stopped everything else I did and started studying Vols football, it's the kind of lifetime just, it's there. Now, how do you know that? I don't know. Like, where were you born? Houston, Texas. How do you know that? I don't know. At some point I was told that. But when? I don't know. You just know it. How do you know that about Mississippi State, Brian? I don't know. It just kind of pops out. So that's who we'll be talking to right now. I'm going to get you up to date.
Everything you need to know about college football every single day. This is CFB 365.
Headline. Hate it, by the way. Headline. LSU D-end Anthony out for season. Andre Anthony, who I was hoping would have his pinata season. You know, one of those Arden Key season where you're hitting quarterback so hard you'd expect candy to start flying out. And he was off to a good start. Knee injury and out for the year. They've already been without Allie Gay. But he's coming back. They have Mississippi State on the road. They got Mississippi State. And this past Saturday against Central Michigan, Anthony gets hurt, and so I just hate it for the kid. Headline, Clemson tackled Davis, out 2 months. Tyler Davis, sophomore, he's got an injury, arm injury, and he is alleged, they're projecting. I don't know, maybe he drinks a lot of milk and takes his vitamins. He's a Hulk Hogan devotee. 7 to 8 weeks following bicep surgery. Man, reattach a bicep tendon, and he missed the Georgia game for COVID. And they got a redshirt sophomore and a freshman that are going to play, and they're a good redshirt sophomore and a good freshman, but they main him. Headline, Clemson senior running back enters portal. That would be Lynn J. Dixon. My goodness, I'm surprised at this end, and so is Lynn J. Dixon. He was supposed to be the starter last year before ETN came back. Turns out for everybody involved, ETN, Dixon, would have been better if he'd gone to the pros. But Dixon has informed Dabo Swinney he's entering the portal. He technically is the starter. He has 10 carries in 3 games. He's like, I'm a senior, and I waited around for this. I am out. I got like 10 more things about injuries and decommitments and transfers. I'm going to save some of them. We're working into conversation. I want to talk Jeff Cameron. So we're going to take a quick break, come back, talk Florida State Seminoles. That's next on the Chuck Oliver Show.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves. And people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Blue here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit jimellis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
Catch the king of college football no matter where you go with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
Fumble, loose ball, and Wake Forest got it back.
Milton into traffic, picked off at midfield. It's coming back. Travis got drilled as he let go of the football. It's going to be picked off.
Loose ball. It comes out. Still loose. Still loose. And Wake Forest recovers in the end zone.
Milton taking a shot downtown into traffic and intercepted again.
Ball comes loose.
Milton put it on the ground. He got rocked.
Everybody gets their turn. It is the Chuck Oliver Show on a Tuesday. That was the string of lowlights. The six Florida State turnovers from Saturday's loss at Wake Forest up yonder in Winston-Salem. And when I say everybody gets their turn, I mean everybody has their car crash season. I'm an Auburn grad. I got my turn. My turn was 2012. And in fact, I can tell you exactly like the moment my turn was happening. I've been in Birmingham doing color on a UAB game, and so I left the game, checked into the hotel, and started catching up on everything I was missing. And I turned on the Auburn-Georgia game in the middle of the third quarter, and I was like, well, there are people wearing Auburn uniforms, and I recognize that that's Auburn's field. I remember the flowers underneath the play clock. I was like, but those aren't Auburn players. because it's 38-0. And then in the Bama game, I guess 2 weeks later, they lost to Georgia and Bama by a combined 87-0. So, yeah, I got my turn. Everybody does. It's the Florida State fans' turn right now. I said that one way you motivate an elite athlete is money / playing time, but also getting embarrassed that whatever the 100% is, you'll get it. I fear that that was Florida State's 100% on Saturday, and I honestly, I got no answers for you. I want to bring on right now a guy who follows that program as closely as anybody from Warchant.com, from 93.3 Yonder in Tallahassee. It is Jeff Cameron. Brother, how are you today?
I'm well, Chuck. I'm better off than Florida State football, I can say that. But, yeah, it's Florida State's turn, but I think Florida State fans, Chuck, would tell you it's been their turn for a few too many games now. They're going to argue that it's been going on for, what, 4 years? So it is, it's tough to watch right now if you're a Noel.
All right, just, yeah, we're not going to, you know, this is not like the American Experience on PBS where we got, like, you know, 2 hours. But at least tell me, what is the most big picture, bird's eye, 10,000-foot issue with Florida State getting back? Now we can talk about ball security and all that other stuff and the ground game, but seriously, what is the systemic, what is the pillar that ain't there? Because I'm out of answers.
Well, I can't block, Chuck. I feel like a broken record. I maybe have mentioned this to you a few times over the last couple of years.
Yeah.
They can't block. And here's the problem. They went into the season with seven guys they thought they could roll, you know, that they could trust maybe if they had to play them on the offensive line. Five that were ideal, two that could play, but not ideal, but they could play. Well, they lost two starters within the first 2 weeks of the season. And one of the other guys that they were counting on to play has decided to quit the team and transfer in Dante Lucas, who it's probably better that he's gone anyhow. So all of a sudden, three of the seven or so you thought you could have out there in a pinch are gone, and they cannot block. So I think they've panicked. I think you see no semblance of a game plan week to week because they're throwing things against the wall to see what works. And when you can't block at the point of attack and you can't block in pass pro, I don't know what you call. They've got two injury-riddled quarterbacks. One who doesn't throw the ball very well, the other who can't really run the way that he once did because he's hurt every time he gets hit. I don't know what they do from here, and that is the feeling of absolute desperation. You sense it from Florida State fans, but you can, to some extent, sense this with the coaching staff right now.
Continuing with Jeff Cameron again, 93.3 FM in Tallahassee. The sidelines, let's talk about that because, you know, you're right about the players, and we used to say, well, it's not the NFL. You can't trade players or no free agency. Well, there's a waiver wire. There actually is. I saw Auburn cut a player, and he left, but on a Tuesday, and then, like, the following Saturday, he's on the field wearing a Gators uniform.
Right.
So, you can swap out personnel, but go to the sidelines. Let's talk big picture, whether it's the coach, the coaching staff, the athletic either director, the department, the university administration, the boosters, the former players. What is the poison pill floating through this thing? Because you're, by the way, Jeff, you're right. Your turn is not supposed to last 5 years if you're Florida State.
No, it shouldn't. It shouldn't. And we have seen, as you know, Chuck, you're a historian of the game, storied programs go through incredible bulls. But ideally, it's not 4 to 5 years. It's not 20 years like Nebraska. It's not 20 years like Miami. It's not. And Florida State fans now sense that it could very well be them that's next on the block of 10 to 15 years of waiting around to see some semblance of decent football. It is hard to wrap your mind around a team that won a national championship just 8 years ago and the year after that goes undefeated and plays in the first ever college football playoff. It's hard to fathom that you could arrive at this place. And it would be a two-hour show for us to sit down and break out how that happened. You could look at the administration. You could look at former head coach Jimbo Fisher and the state of the program he left behind. You could look at the decision to hire Willie Taggart and how that blew up in their face. You could look at the decision to fire Willie Taggart after just 19 games and know that you have to start from ground zero once you do that and you blow up recruiting classes and you have no continuity. You could look at all those things, but they are one symptom of a larger problem. I do think that the only thing that's going to turn this around now is continuity. They can't fire Mike Norvell. And I understand that that sounds unfair to the people who say, wait a minute, you fired Willie Taggart in less than 2 years. How can you not fire this guy? Well, the answer is money. They don't have the money, and you're not going to pay people $4 to $6 million a year to not coach here. And that's what they would be doing, and you'd be starting all over yet again. And there are no guarantees at that point that you could get anybody to sit down and listen to you about a job interview. So, you know, what coach says, yeah, I want that job. They're going to fire me in 2 years if I can't get it turned around. I just think that they have to wait this thing out. They better pick on something that they can do even decently well. Pick an identity. Run the ball and punt. Whatever you have to do to avoid the nightmare we're seeing currently gets you to the end of the season. Maybe it gets you to the end of the season with 3 wins. That's ugly. But if you salvage anything of that recruiting class, which is currently top 10, you got a chance with an influx of talent to begin to change the fortunes and gain traction.
The last big picture, like, organizational question then, and by the way, this ain't my idea. I had a former FSU player, played in the league for either 10 or 11 seasons, offensive lineman, and he told me that among the former players, there is a sort of an underground sort of conversation about Coach Prime, that he should have been the choice and that this is going to be a conversation at some point. Have you heard any even reference in a casual way about, hey, you seen what Deion's doing out in Mississippi?
No, not from anybody who you would take seriously. I think that is a catastrophically poor idea for a number of reasons, Chuck, but we probably don't have the time. I would tell you that, no, that's not going to happen. Under no circumstance do I believe that Deion Sanders will be the next head coach of Florida State. I also don't think he should be. But, again, that's a different discussion.
Okay, yeah.
Obviously, he's an all-time great player.
Yeah, I gave you the biggest disclaimer possible. I was like, this ain't my idea. This is somebody's like, I'm telling you, there are former players who are already talking about. Look at what his – I was like, look, that's your deal, man. All right, yeah. So let's talk about the rest of this season, including this coming Saturday where a not great Louisville squad is favored at Tallahassee. And I look at that and I'm like, yeah, okay, I get it, whatever. It's a one or it's a two right now. Let's talk threat level of Florida State starting 0-4.
Oh, I think it's pretty high. I don't know how after you lose at home to an FCS school 2 weeks ago, it's not obvious to most that it would be surprising to see Florida State win the game. Chuck, that's not going to change this week. You couldn't block last week. You couldn't block the week before. I don't suppose you're going to suddenly block this week. Now, they are hoping to get Robert Scott back at left tackle. That is a huge upgrade from what they had to do a week ago. They are hoping to get Maurice Smith back at center. That, too, is an upgrade over what you had to do a week ago. So perhaps, if you can settle on what you want to do and you have a couple of ACC-caliber starting offensive linemen back in the rotation, you got a chance to keep it close because, as you mentioned, that's not a dominant Louisville team. That's a team that will give up some points. So you have a chance to maybe fight your way through this and begin it in the fourth quarter. This is also a team, Chuck, though, who is a bit snake bit. When they do get off the field, weird things happen. You had a roughing the punter call last week, which didn't look like roughing the punter to me, and a play on the sideline, which they got called for, a personal foul, which didn't look like a personal foul. But this team's not good enough to be able to overcome those kinds of things. They need something good to happen early to begin to believe that perhaps they can play. Because you saw them a few weeks ago against Notre Dame fight and kick and claw and get this thing into overtime and really looked like a team that was gaining traction. But it all fell apart when those injuries began to mount and then quickly, obviously, you treated the game against Jacksonville State as a glorified scrimmage and it came back to bite you. Now you have a crisis of conscience again and confidence. And I do wonder if they even believe they can win.
I think the total at this point is 7 interceptions and 3 lost fumbles from the quarterbacks. All I've got, my God, that's only 3 games. I think that tally is correct. You got 90 seconds. Tell me what happens immediately versus Louisville and then as the season unfolds at quarterback. Include health and performance and whatever you want.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is the biggest problem. They have 2 quarterbacks that they can't get to consistently practice due to health problems. I don't have any doubt Mackenzie Milton wants to practice and play and be consistently part of what they're doing and install during the week. I have no doubt that Jordan Travis wants to do the same. Neither have been able to do that unscathed week in and week out. That is a big part of the problem. They don't know who they can turn to on game day to start at quarterback because health is an issue game in and game out. So it is almost impossible to predict. And then people would then tell you that, okay, well, then you got to go to Chubba Purdy because at this point it's a wash. I don't know. Chubba Purdy's shown no signs in practice that he can play. So this is – you have to roll somebody out there, Chuck. They need to choose a guy and then obviously put together a game plan around whatever it is he can do for now and stick to that. Don't panic. Don't go away from it, because that's what it feels like right now, is they're just throwing things against the wall.
Yeah, microwave. Hey, let's see what can instantly improve. And by the way, if I could correct myself, Jeff, it's 10 it's 7 interceptions, 3 fumbles, but they only lost 2 of them. So it's only 9 actual turnovers. So
yeah, one of them's on the goal line at first and goal from the 2. So that'll hurt your feelings.
Hey, all right, fantastic. Yeah. Jeff, I appreciate your time, amigo. Thank you.
Take care.
All right, Jeff Cameron again, 93.3 Real Talk in Tallahassee. Yeah, there was a fumble by Mackenzie Milton that was recovered, but then he lost 2 others. So it's 9 turnovers in 3 games. And they're grown men. These are at least upperclassmen. Mackenzie Milton's really an upperclassman. And has gone through and emerged from more than I, again, my fingers and toes are crossed. He has gone through more than I ever will have. I'm not tough. I don't want to be tough anymore. I used to. I have no interest in being tough anymore. I can't have you turn the ball over, or you can't play. Issue is, both of them turn it over, and the other guy is a redshirt freshman who ain't ready to play.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Ballew here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
More college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
On the side of our fridge, we have sports rules. It's under a magnet. And near the top of it, no griping about the officials. No griping about the refs. It's the last thing you can do. And I have applied that. I remember I was watching an Iron Bowl. This would have been maybe 95 Iron Bowl. And there's a Bama receiver, Curtis Brown, actually, who it was. Next morning in the Birmingham paper, they had a picture of his foot surrounded by green grass in the Auburn end zone, and the official going, "Nope, you're out." Like, Alabama, he caught the pass. It was the end of the game, and they were going to win. And it didn't happen. And I was like, hey, man, it's how the officials called it. Several years later, Michael Johnson, a Georgia receiver, he had a double. I think it was Horace Willis was the Auburn defensive back in 2002. And, I mean, he got double handful of jersey and just pushed the guy to the ground almost and then caught the game-winning touchdown pass. And I was like, sorry, Auburn fans. It still applies, even when it goes against, quote, us. The officials, when it's done, it's done. Mississippi State fans, I may give you a little license because I watched a ball on the Liberty Bowl field the other day. I was like, all right, it rolled to a stop. And then a Memphis player's like, nah, I don't think it did. And the fact that I'm wearing the same jersey as somebody else out on the field, yeah, let's ignore that too. And there were other issues as well. So no complaining about the refs, but I will give Mike Leach and State fans license. I swear I will. I want to welcome on right now from the Super Talk Mississippi Network, a guy that we got to sit down with in person at Media Days and absolutely loved it. Brian Haydad, welcome back, brother. How you doing today?
I was going to say, if you weren't going to let me complain about officials, this would be a real short phone call today.
No, I'm going to give some license. That was horrifying. And an SEC football conference that is at the top of the food chain in every other way, it is distinctive in how below average to worse than that the officiating is. That was my takeaway yesterday. Is like, how can a conference that's the best in everything, best coaches, best stadiums, best fans, best everything, have this?
Basically, repeating everything I just said on my podcast and on Sports Talk Mississippi, that it really is a shame that the conference that makes so much money and has so much good stuff going for it can't figure this out. And I mean, this isn't a new thing. Like you just went back to an Iron Bowl from 1995. You can go back even further through the years. Somebody asked me the other day, they're like, is it just getting worse now? I'm like, no, it's probably always been like this. It's just that we have social media. Every game is on television. Everybody's clipping out these clips and putting them out there. My guess is we could go back to Bear Bryant and Johnny Vaught and all those guys, and they would just be like, oh, yeah, it was terrible back then, too. So I don't know how to improve it. I don't have that answer. I just know that it needs to be fixed.
Continue, Brian Haydad from Super Talk Mississippi. Let's talk on field now. Tell me the good, all the good from Will Rogers after 3 weeks, because I heard Will Rogers and literally five other names discussed to be the starting quarterback during summer, but it's Will Rogers. Let's talk.
Yeah, Rogers, this is going to be his 10th start as a Mississippi State quarterback. He hasn't started what you consider a full season. Now, he's got a lot of reps because they throw the ball so darn much. He threw 67 passes last week. From a completion percentage standpoint, he's been really good. Only one turnover, only one interception on the season. I think he's 8-1 touchdown to interception, on pace to break basically every single season passing record Mississippi State has. And if you watch the games closely, he's leaving a ton of yards on the field. He's really complacent and fine with just sort of checking down and throwing underneath. And he's got guys open in the second and third level. So that's going to be the key for Mississippi State going forward this season. If they want to get better and they want to, go back to a bowl game, they're going to have to start hitting those intermediate 15, 20-yard passes. I feel State has the best receiving core it's had in quite some time. There are legitimate SEC receivers, and you couldn't say that, as recently as 2 or 3 years ago.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely agree with you. And I want to ask you about that, because three games, he's had three separate leading receivers. And I'm thinking that we haven't even seen the best of Wally and Marks yet.
No, I agree with that. Marks got hurt on Saturday. Yeah. And I think that was a big blow for Mississippi State to not have him in the game. Wally is a great receiver. They did a great job finding him in the first half last Saturday. In the second half, I don't know if Memphis made the right adjustments or if they just weren't finding him. Jameer Calvin and Makai Polk from the transfer portal have been big hits for Mississippi State. And then you got a player like Tulu Griffin, who you saw, has made such a big impact in special teams. State's got to find a way to get the ball into that guy's hands. I don't know what they have to do. They need to, design some plays and packages for him, but he's an explosive playmaker. Malik Heath is good. Austin Williams is very consistent. They've got guys who can catch the ball. You said State's had three different leading receivers. It's going to be like that all year. This team will finish with 7-8 guys in the 40 to 60 reception range. There won't be any one, alpha dog in there, I don't think.
Continue with Brian Haydad again, Super Talk Mississippi. Talk a little more about either injuries and status as we kind of peek ahead to this. I want to peek all the way ahead to it, to this Saturday, LSU and State. And it's a high noon game as well, at least for me it is. Talk about injuries and availability and who's where.
Pretty healthy here at Mississippi State so far. The only guy who I would expect not to see is the kicker, Brandon Ruiz. He I think pulled something against North Carolina State. Didn't play in the second half of that game. Didn't play against Memphis. I think they expect him to be out for a couple weeks. Leach is so tight-lipped on injuries. He does not like to give that information out. I expect Marks to be back this week. I think he just had, he got knocked in the head. Yeah. And they kept him out for precautionary reasons. Dylan Johnson was a little banged up, but I think he'll be fine. As far as I know, State's fully healthy as much as they can be and ready to go this weekend.
Well, let's talk a little bit of Mississippi State defense, because I had said last year that if you put together an all-star team from all of his squads at Tech and Wazoo, I was like, I think I like State's defense right now in Starkville better than that all-star team. I expected a drop-off. They're pretty dang salty, especially against NC State, which, by the way, that's a big grown man offensive line, and they can run the ball. Talk State defense, because I'm impressed.
Against the run, they've just been fantastic this year. You know, NC State rushed for 293 yards against South Florida. They rushed for 32 yards against Mississippi State. Memphis rushed for, I think, over 300 yards against Arkansas State. They rushed for 80 yards against Mississippi State. They just have been really good against the run. And playing LSU this week, a team that, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but LSU can't run the football. So I think they can do that. That leads to them being a one-dimensional team. And you and I talked about this in Hoover about State's cornerbacks, Forbes and Emerson. They're really good. They're really good, and they've played well this year. So some opportunities for State. I think State can hold LSU out of the end zone. It's just going to be a question of, can State put points on the board this week?
All right. I said high noon for me. Again, I mean, the State fan base, I'm sure it's going to be electric no matter what. It is an 11 a.m. kick local time, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay, so talk environment. Man, a night game would be so awesome. Or even, you know, CBS if the fates had conspired. But just talk environment and excitement around what's going to be happening around Davis Wade.
Not a whole lot, to be totally honest with you, Chuck. I think that this crowd, I mean, State had 43 for the first game, 43 for the second game.
Wow.
I expect something like that, to be totally honest. People are just, they're just down on Mike Leach at this point. And losing that game, if State was undefeated playing this game, you probably have a pretty good crowd for an 11 a.m. game. But as it is right now, I just don't see it. And that, on top of that, I mean, the games are just – they're not entertaining. State's offense goes, you know, a quarter and a half, two quarters without scoring, and there's not a lot of explosive plays. When you contrast that with what's happening up the road in Oxford, Mississippi State fans are just kind of put out right now. So I don't expect a huge crowd this weekend by any means.
All right. So in 2 weeks, is it – I'm not being facetious here. Is it going to be like a neutral site crowd with Alabama?
There have been some games where State was really good, and it's been pretty close to a neutral site here because a lot of Alabama fans make that trip. Yeah, I don't know if it's about 50-50, but there will be a ton of Alabama fans in the stadium. I think that's October 16th, yeah, for sure.
That is really – it's really surprising it's to this point. And the reason I was asking, I got a buddy of mine that I got to know in a professional sense first, but now he's just a really good friend, and I was asking about the environment, getting tickets and all that. He's like, get all we want. And I was like, I didn't know if it's because he was like some high-level booster with LSU, or he's like, no, we just get all we want. It's really surprising that three games in, and given what the offense is supposed to eventually be, that there is a lull in that excitement. I know it always is, you know, Louisville and Kentucky, Auburn and Alabama. I mean, I understand the cross-state, down-state relationship, but that's really surprising to me that it's at that point right now.
I think it's just, you know, when you hire Mike Leach, it just comes with the expectation that offensively you're going to be bouncing all over the scoreboard. I think State fans, if State was losing games, you know, 41-40 or something like that, it would be a little bit more understanding. But it's just been a combination of the offense has been so poor, you know, an 11 a.m. kickoff on top of that. And then, you know, a lot of fans are upset with Mike Leach from last week where, you know, you think about Nick Saban and how – what would his reaction have been to that punt? I mean, he'd probably still be at midfield.
Oh, he would have
right
screamed the paint off the walls.
The referee.
Yeah.
I mean, something might have happened. And Leach just sort of, you know, nodded his head and, you know, sort of went with it. And then even in Monday's press conference, didn't really have a lot of pointed words. People want to see a little fire out of Mike Leach, and they're not getting it right now. So you got a lot of disappointed fans right this second. He can win them all back, you know, start winning some games starting this weekend, and that'll get everybody back on board. But losing that game, it hurt him. It hurt him for sure.
I'm certain it did. Brian, appreciate the input as always, brother. Thank you.
Anytime, Chuck. Thanks, man.
All right, Brian Haydad again, Super Talk Mississippi. It really is surprising that this few weeks into the second season that, I mean, the opponent is not supposed to make the game, but there are some opponents that do that just about everywhere they go. If you are lucky enough to draw Notre Dame, it doesn't – I mean, it could be – no disrespect. It could be Wake Forest. It could be Syracuse. Oh, Notre Dame, home game? As great as an environment as the Swamp is, wasn't it even a little bit more on Saturday? I thought it was. And I've seen Miami there. I think I've seen just about everybody except Georgia, because I missed the 94 game, I think it was, either 94 or 95. I was not there, and I didn't see the game in Athens either. But as great as Florida is for LSU's coming in, or, you know, any Florida State, whoever, it was a little bit more for Alabama the other day. And so Alabama is one of those teams. Well, I know for Ole Miss, LSU is, even when Ole Miss isn't necessarily this exciting. But this is something that I talked about last year during the season. And it was that Ole Miss has decided we're going to recruit on TV. Not with commercials, not with whatever. We're going to recruit on TV during these 3 hours every Saturday. And what State fans were expecting was a different brand of that, actually a more direct brand of that, because Lane Kiffin, the man, he likes to run the ball a lot, but he's got his play sheet and he knows how to fling it as well. Well, that's mostly what Mike Leach wants to do, and he gets the running backs involved, and a fullback get involved in the passing game. But it's not the Arena League right now, and that's kind of what the expectation was. I had mentioned this, and this is not revisionist and anything else. I said before last year's first snap, I guess it would be this week last year, that we were reviewing his 2019 season at Washington State. I was like, folks, that was year 7 on the Palouse. When he had Texas Tech ranked, did they get to number 2? They got as high as number 2, I believe. That was Crabtree and Graham Harrell and all. Folks, that was like year 6 at Texas Tech. It didn't happen immediately. So it's getting better, and I'm excited for Saturday. I was just surprised that it's a ticket that's so dang readily available. All right, we're going to break, come back, wrap up next.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Ballew here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit jimellis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
To Southern Sports Today and the Chuck Oliver Show.
Penn State did a good job. They had themselves in good position in a fourth down call, whatever their call was. You know, those guys worked those same things just like we do. And, you know, there were opportunities there. And next time we've got to learn from it, and we'll be in that situation again. And next time we need to have a better result.
Brian Harsin, Auburn head coach, and he was referring to the fourth down incomplete pass. Kobe Hudson was the maybe receiver, and he was not going to be able to get there. I will say that everything so compressed, pushed together. It's that garbage compactor in Star Wars. When you get down into the end zone, that it already becomes tough. Don't they always tell you play with the 12th defender? You're a corner, and you're out near the numbers. You're going to play with the 12th defender. It's not the Texas A&M students. It's the sideline. Well, what do you get when you get close to the end zone? It ain't Canadian League anymore. It's 13 defenders because you have an inline. So this receiver that I have been trembling in my Nikes over all while we were out in the field, well, now we're down on the 4-yard line. His speed doesn't scare me so much because how far is he going to outrun me in 14 yards and still catch football, by the way? So I have two extra defenders. Oh, and the Penn State secondary is not only one of the most talented in America, but it's pretty deep. But one of the most talented in America, a lot of experience, but the Auburn receiver corps, and this is the word I'll use, it's emerging. It's not there yet. They featured Demetrius Robertson the first three games. And by that, I mean, hey, let's feature Demetrius. Let's get the ball into his hands because I don't know why specifically, but I'm going to give you some options. Because either we told him in recruiting we'll feature you. I promised the pitch to the 60-year senior. The pitch wasn't, oh, we'll allow you to come in and compete, Demetrius. That was not it. Demetrius looked at the depth chart and saw the same thing I did. Freshman, sophomore, freshman, son. Yep. War Eagle. So they've been featuring him. I don't think when it starts coming down to who just the best, and Demetrius is good, and he can run fast in a straight line, and he can catch football, and he can return some things, and so there's all of this. I think when it comes down to, like, Saturday, when it's about, all right, who's just the best receiver, then Demetrius will kind of just be in the mix, but he's been featured so far. But they went to Kobe Hudson. And Kobe was never going to get to that football because you have a talented secondary with two extra defenders against an emerging wide receiver core. So that's what I'm saying about Auburn. They got Georgia State on Saturday, and they should be able to take care of the Panthers. Georgia State is unfortunate because they're in this respect, that as a program, big pick, not Saturday, I'm saying that I really suspect that by next June, following spring practice and that transfer period following spring practice and such at the end of the semester, for instance, we're all going to realize that programs like Georgia State, like other at that level, your farm systems and feeder programs for larger conferences. And so when Khalil Mack blows up as a sophomore but can't go pro yet, he ain't playing his junior year at Buffalo, folks. Hey, we got a transfer linebacker from Buffalo. Pfft. We're Texas. What are we doing taking a kid from Buffalo? Oh, look at him. So that's where Georgia State, that's the land they occupy. But Auburn should take care of them on Saturday, barring David picking up the stone and slinging it. Then it's at LSU. They're beatable. LSU looks at Georgia, looks at Auburn and says, oh, Auburn's coming in. They're beatable. Like, that's the real estate you live on right now. So things get a lot more real after that because LSU's beatable, and so is Auburn. And then it's Georgia, and then it's Arkansas, and then it's Ole Miss, and then it's A&M, and then it's Mississippi State. Where's the gimme? Where's the easy Saturday for a team that is, what? There's a lot of units. That offensive line, emerging. Heck, I'll say Bo Nix, emerging. That's where they are right now. And so that was Brian Harsin saying to emerge further, we need to make that play going. It never had a chance. Dan, you saw that. That's my closing argument. Dan, you saw that.
Yeah.
It never did that. Kobe Hudson was never, ever, ever, ever going to come down with that football.
There are two rules for throwing a fade near your own end zone. Number one, if you have Joe Hamilton as your quarterback. And number two, if you have former USC standout Mike Williams as your receiver. Those are the only two ways that I'm doing that. It is just, to me, the most mind-boggling.
It was a tough
play call.
It was, from down close, it was tough.
Because exactly like what you just said right there, you're already giving them an out, the defense that is, where the two things in short yardage situations in the red zone that just absolutely just drive me up a wall is that having that 12th defender like you just said right there, but then the other one is giving them that 12th defender. Quarterback rolling out to his right, the short side of the field right there, and it's like, you just cut off the other 53 yards that you have right there. Like, why aren't you giving yourself that opportunity to have all that yardage to be able to work with?
I want to make one quick point about that before Dan gets back into what he's saying. when you have a quarterback either roll out or be blitzed and forced out, it can be good or bad. For an inexperienced quarterback, there are plenty of plays where the OC says, all right, we're going to roll him out to try. We're going to limit his options. We want to take away things for him to sift through. All right, you have these two receivers on this half of the field. That's all because you're young and we don't want you thinking too much. Against a veteran quarterback? The defense wants to, because he can use all of the field, and so it should be a part of Bo Nix's game right now. I believe it is, but it wasn't on that call.
No, it definitely wasn't. And, you know, I just get flashbacks of when Matt Ryan tried to force it into Julio Jones at the end of that playoff game. Again, every single rule broken. Look, if you're right there throwing the football, throw it with a purpose. Slants, something like that, that can honestly have you speed on speed, beat that guy and be able to win it. That's what I definitely want to see. You know, the other part of this as well is we hadn't really had a chance to get into the whole quarterback situation at Georgia, because are we aware that Kirby is about to blow this again, where he went from having a very dire quarterback situation just a couple of years ago to now having a very good quarterback room that he talks about, but then on Monday's press conference saying it's determined in practice that week. Kirby, if it was determined in practice that week, based off everything that I've been told, then Carson Beck would be the guy coming out. But instead, you're going with the safe option here. You know who he is? He's that part in the movie 10 Cup where Roy McAvoy is caddying for Don Johnson's character, and he says, he's laying up. I could make it. That's somebody else saying that with that quarterback. Kirby Smart, sorry, buddy, you're Don Johnson.
And is staring at a 12-0 regular season in all likelihood. And I just, the Gators can win. I mean, anybody, Kentucky can beat them. I just don't think it's going to happen. And then the next questions will be about beating Alabama and Atlanta again. All right, wraps it up on a Tuesday, folks. Back this time tomorrow with more.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Blue here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.